serious times, serious things happening in people's lives. And we have those banners back there on the wall, rescue, restore, release. When those banners were created, we probably didn't envision how literal the word rescue might become. But there are people and situations and things that sometimes require real intervention, real rescuing. So, Lord, give us grace, much grace, for these kinds of things, these kinds of days. I just want to add a word to Jack there. Lord was saying to me, He's given you a mathematical mind, I know. You know, there's a love of math there, and there's also a creative side. And so the Lord is saying that your life isn't going to be just by the numbers. And he's wanting to activate the creative side and bring out the creative things in your life. And so life won't always be just by the numbers. There will be some things that will come from outside the box. Kind of in line with what I think Sue Hudson was saying. All right. Well, Lord, this morning I pray, teach us and instruct us from Your Word. Just make our hearts receptive and cause what You plant down in us to grow in us and bear fruit in our lives. Thank You, Lord. Just going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 6 verses, but we'll really only talk about the first 2 verses, really. Paul says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, or with humility and meekness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Amen. And usually when we read that passage, we get all wrapped up in verses 4, 5, and 6. One body, one Spirit, and so forth. And talk about the unity of the Spirit and what it means to maintain that. But the first 2 verses are actually set the stage before you can get to talking about unity and things like that. Paul beseeches, in my translation here, or urges, admonishes, exhorts. Almost commands. The Greek word is a strong word that he's using there. A very strong word. To summon. He summons you to walk worthy of the calling with which God has called you. And there are, in that one verse, there are three forms of the one Greek word for calling. Paul calls to us to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And so he's really emphasizing something here in this verse and how important it is. And he's putting a very personal and emotional appeal into it. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech, urge, exhort, I summon, I call you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So what does he mean to walk worthy? What does it mean to walk worthy? Do you want to walk worthy? Do you want to be worthy of the calling? We need to find out what that word means, because that might have different connotations. But first, to walk. To walk is a scriptural metaphor, when you see that in the New Testament, which means it's how you conduct your life. That's simply what it means. It's to walk out your life, to conduct your life. It's the choices you make, the values you have, the principles, the attitudes, the motivations you live by, how you conduct your life. In fact, if you dig into the Greek there, it means to pass the test of your life. How are you doing? Are you passing the test of your life when you conduct your life? Are you fulfilling God's call? You've heard the saying, you can walk the walk. No, you can talk the talk. I'm getting backwards. I got to get away from Steve. The dyslexia is rubbing off on me. You can talk the talk. It's right here in my notes. But can you walk the walk? And we were at a wedding last night, and I saw some people walking their walk during the dancing. There was some interesting walk in the walk going on. Can you walk the walk? You can say you're a Christian, but is there enough evidence to convict you in a court of law? If you were brought up on charges, he says he's a Christian. Is there enough evidence to put you away? I sometimes wonder. I don't know if I want to be examined in that light. Walk worthy of the calling. That word worthy there, it's a Greek word. It means suitable, becoming, or worthy. Walk worthy of the calling. It's an identity issue. Does your walk issue forth from your identity in Christ? Is that where your walk is coming from? Or do you claim an identity that doesn't match up with how you conduct your life? You know, there might be somebody out there who claims to be a millionaire. But then you come here on a Monday night or a Tuesday night and you see him standing in line for soup kitchen. And you wonder, well, maybe. You're saying that's how he got there. Became a millionaire. You wonder, is there a disconnect there? And you know, there is a Greek word we're all familiar with for people who say one thing and do another. What's that word? Hypocrite. Straight from the Greek. And God doesn't want us to be hypocrites. He wants us to be the real thing, to walk worthy of our calling. And we all have a calling. In case you thought maybe only some people have a calling, you know, those like Samuel in the Old Testament, he heard the voice of the Lord calling his name, Samuel, Samuel, in the middle of the night. Well, that's not the only way the Lord calls us. And we all have a calling. It's right in the Scripture. God calls all of us to believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all called to believe. He calls all of us to be saints. Not the kind of saints that John Paul II just became in the Roman Catholic Church. The saints that the Scripture talks about, which means to be set apart to God. Just acknowledging to yourself, I am set apart. I have been chosen to belong to the Lord. And the corollary of that is my life is not my own. It belongs to Him. He calls all of us to be saints. And He wants all of us to play a part in His plan for the kingdom of God. He has a part for all of us. So you're called. You're all called. You're all summoned. It's like when the officer of the court walks up to you and hands you a summons. You want to respond to that summons. And our summons comes from on high, the highest court, highest authority. He wants you. Now that's the amazing part. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, He wants you and you and you and you. Each one of us. Despite all of our failures, whatever our weaknesses might be, our history, all the different things that go into defining who we are, where we've been, and all of that, He wants and He calls each one of us. Right now and right where you are. Let's see what extra thing I wrote in my notes here. Okay. Just so you're clear on this, you are called in your marriage. You have a calling in your marriage. In your job, you are called. In your neighborhood, in your circumstance, whatever it is, in school, in college, wherever you're at in life, you have a calling from God. God wants you. So, let there be no doubt about that. Again, God doesn't just call some people. He wants all of us. It's not like professional sports where there are a few privileged athletes out on the field and everybody else is a spectator. We're all on the team. We're all called into His Majesty's service. Just like James Bond. Only it's Her Majesty in his case, but we're all agents of the kingdom of God. You ever play secret agent when you were a kid? Ever go through that phase? We're all agents. We are ambassadors, emissaries for Christ. right where we are. Whatever the circumstance is, when I go to the radio station on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, I am an ambassador for Christ just as much as on Tuesday and Thursday when I'm here in the building. Maybe more so. Maybe more so. No one can say, I'm just waiting to hear my call from the Lord. The summons is right here. It's been issued. All that God is waiting for is your response. Here am I. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. What do you want me to do? Now you need to remember that you're not worthy to be invited or called. You're not worthy of the invitation. That comes by God's grace. He invites you by His grace. But having been invited, how dare we refuse? When the summons of the King comes, and I can point you to parables that Jesus told that indicates it will not go well with those who refuse the summons. Just recently, the National Football League held their annual draft. And there are thousands of college players who would love each year to be drafted into the professional ranks, but only, I think it's, I don't know, less than 300. It isn't that many that get drafted. So to have your name called in the draft is a remarkable thing. But just imagine if there's one player out there among those lucky few gets his name called and he just shrugs his shoulders and says, you know what, I don't really want to play for that team. I could care less. I don't want to wear that uniform. People would think, you're an idiot. How can you pass that opportunity up? Well, of course, nowadays you might have a good reason. I don't want any more concussions. But anyway, having been called, we should learn how to dress and speak and behave as members of His team, citizens of that kingdom. So Paul goes on here and he begins to detail what it means to walk worthy of the calling. And he gives some characteristics, and I'm only going to look at a couple of those this morning. But I just want you to remember, whenever you're looking at characteristics in the Scripture, character traits, and you study them because, you know, okay, I need more patience in my life, or I need more of this in my life, or I need more of that. It's not so that you can make a law for yourself and try to do it in your own strength. Oh, no, I'm going to be more patient today. I'm just going to really work on that. If I can just be more patient today. You need to remember that these things are characteristics of Christ. And the only way to get more of the characteristic is to get more of Christ Himself. Get more of Jesus. So, to get more patience or anything else, get more of Jesus. Sometimes we think, if I get more patience or more whatever, I'll get more of Jesus. But that's probably getting the cart before the horse or whatever. We need to have more of what Paul says in the previous chapter, Christ Himself dwelling in our hearts by faith, with the Holy Spirit working mightily in us. So, having said that, we'll look at these traits, these characteristics that Paul brings forth. How do we walk worthy of our amazing calling? First of all, with all lowliness or humility. Now that is complete contradiction to the culture we live in. That's totally opposite of the world that we live in, which is all about Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the ways that people have of putting out their opinions, their doings, what they're thinking and saying, and saying, look at me, listen to me, everything about me is so important that you have to pay attention. The world should pay attention to what I'm doing and saying and thinking. That's the society that we live in. It's a total kind of self-absorption. What's the big craze of right now, the last few months? Selfies. Taking pictures of yourself with your phone. Which is an amazing technological achievement of our modern civilization. But still, does the world need all those pictures? Do you need all those pictures of yourself? Whatever. That is, you know, part of the world we live in. It'll be something else a few months from now. The pace of change in our society is such that people will move on. But the idea that everything about me should command attention from the world. And Paul says that's not the way it is. When you walk in the manner of Christ in the kingdom, you walk in lowliness, humility. Which means basically not being puffed up with pride, as he talks about in Romans chapter 12, not thinking too highly of yourself, but thinking with sober judgment. Now, when we talk about lowliness or humility, I'm not talking about that kind of thing that masquerades as humility, that kind of self-pity, that poor self-image where you're berating and criticizing yourself and putting yourself down all the time, that's not humility. That's just another twisted form of calling attention to yourself, of pride. Because the fact is, if you're born again, you're not a loser. You're not a loser. You're a child of the King. You're on the winning side. But we need an accurate assessment. It's basically what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, if you ever look at that passage. Think soberly with sound judgment about yourself. You know what your strengths are. You know what your weaknesses are. And at the end of all of that, when you've examined yourself, you realize that what you bring to the table is completely outweighed by what Christ brings to the table. Because it's really all about Him. He's the one that we're focused on. So when you walk in lowliness, the humble person does not get frustrated when things don't go their own way. Because they know it's not all about me. It's about the Lord. And sometimes the Lord's way is different than my way. And a person who is lowly does not get jealous if others are blessed and promoted. In fact, you're able to rejoice because you really do care about their welfare more than your own. Because you're really not thinking that much about yourself. It's not about how high you can climb the ladder of success. It's how low can you go to serve others. That's the way Christ walked. And that's the way He will walk it out in us. Lowliness and meekness, or gentleness, or mildness, depending on your translation. And when you look at the word meekness and go into the roots of that in the Greek, one of the root meanings has to do with being silent, restrained. And so I'm going to put a name out there that you might not think of in terms of meekness, a Hollywood name, Clint Eastwood. Think of all the movies, if you've ever watched movies with Clint Eastwood. Did he ever say more than 10 words in the movie? The strong, silent type. You heard that characterization. Meekness does not equal weakness. Meekness does not equal weakness. It is strength held under control. Held back for the sake of others. Used to help others and not harm them. A great example in Scripture is Moses. Moses is called the meekest man on earth. But you know, he didn't start out that way. He started out as an arrogant, interfering, murdering prince of Egypt. Got him in some hot water. But after 40 years of herding sheep on the backside of the mountain, and then 40 more years of herding Israelites through the wilderness, which coincided with 40 years living in the presence of God, he was the meekest man on earth. He was willing to wait for God, willing to listen to God, before he did anything. We have the example of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, meek and mild. The same Jesus who threw the money changers out of the temple with a whip in his hand. Jesus who took the children tenderly in his arms. The same Jesus who called the Pharisees hypocrites. Whitewashed tombs. The blind leading the blind. Jesus only spoke what he heard from the Father. He only did what he saw the Father doing. You know, when you have a well-trained horse, I'm assuming that Mike and Heather can confirm this, that a well-trained horse responds to probably the tiniest twitch of the reins or a whispered command in the ear. It's kind of like having power steering in your car. How many of you remember before power steering was standard in all vehicles? My power steering went out last year, 1 week. I had to drive it a couple of days before it got fixed, and I got a taste, a reminder of what it was like when I learned to drive. There was a little more effort involved in navigating the corners and stuff. Well, the Lord wants us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How's the Holy Spirit steering in your life? There's a picture in Revelations of the 144,000 who are described as following the Lamb wherever He goes. I've always had the picture in my mind that they're just ready to turn on a dime wherever the Lamb wants them to go. It's kind of how He wants us to be. Debating about this next paragraph in my notes. So I don't want you to make any comparisons to anybody you know. Some people, but this is an analogy, some people are like a really strong hot sauce. Anybody like their food hot and spicy? Some people are like a really strong hot sauce that burns the lips and bites the tongue and stings and burns all the way down your throat and makes you start sweating. And now, before you say hallelujah, why am I? What is the point of the comparison here? Is it good or bad? Some people have such strong, forceful personalities that they just fill the room with their presence and they dominate the conversation and it's all about them. Whatever they're thinking, whatever their agenda is, whatever's going on, their opinion, their way of doing things is always the only way. And then there are other people who are gentle, who are considerate, who are interested in your opinion, who are willing to listen, and they're open to other ideas. Now, you may not persuade them at the end of the day, but they gave you a hearing. They were willing to listen. You feel that they respected you. You don't feel like you got run over by a Mack truck. Does that make sense? Now, there are many, God made many different kinds of personalities. But some people might have to work harder at being meek than others. And some of us have other things that we might have to work harder at. But just remember where those things come from. If you need more of this or that or another thing the Scripture points out, get it from the Lord. More of Him is where it comes from. I want you to notice what Paul did not say when he said, "Walk worthy of your calling." What does it mean to walk worthy of your calling? Sometimes it's helpful to realize what was not said. He did not say, pack up your family and become missionaries in Africa. He didn't say we all have to be missionaries. And he didn't say we all have to jump on board the CERT team. He didn't say we all have to go to South Korea. Or any other thing that people might come up here and say, this is what the Lord is telling me to do. He didn't say, go stand on the preach corner and preach the gospel and win four souls every day. He didn't even say, quit smoking, drinking, dancing, and going to movies. Why didn't you say that? Didn't say, this wedding we were at last night, I know some of the Christians could really dance.
I do.
Not so much me. I grew up in a different era. Well, the people danced, not in my family. But Paul didn't say those kinds of things. He said, be humble, be meek, which is the kinds of things that apply to every circumstance, every situation, every relationship. Be humble and be meek, because if you're like Christ in that regard, then God can mold you. Then God can speak to you about all the other stuff. God can head you in the right direction. He can address the particulars. And it won't be the same for everyone. You know, Elijah was brought up this morning. And Elijah learned a valuable lesson when he was out there in the desert and the mountains, and God sent a windstorm and sent a firestorm and sent an earthquake, but God Himself wasn't speaking in any of those things. And that's probably something to always remember when we're looking out at the world and all the shaking that goes on in the world and all the events and the traumatic things. What we need to listen for is the still, small voice of the Lord. And the Scripture says that the Lord dwells not only on high, but with the lowly and contrite of heart. So if you aren't listening in that kind of quiet humility, you'll miss out on His instructions. You'll miss some of the important details. You don't want to miss the particulars of your calling. And Paul goes on with other characteristics and other things that he talks about, but I see these two as being kind of foundational here, because they go a long way towards realizing the other things in life. Because if you are not lowly and meek, then you're not going to endure long suffering, like he talks about. And you're not going to forbear with and tolerate others, like he talks about. And you're not going to forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. And you're not going to seek to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And you're not going to accept that other people are part of the same body and have the same Spirit and the same faith and so forth. It takes humility and meekness to be a part of the body of Christ. So keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm going to close with Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Will be familiar scripture to most of us. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle or meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. So, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Learn from Him. So keep your eyes on Him. Father in heaven, I just pray that this day, going forward into this week, Lord, that You would help each one of us to walk worthy of our calling. In both the general sense in which You have called all of us and each one of us in the particular things, Lord. Help us to walk worthy of Your calling. And Lord, we pray that You would multiply opportunities for us to be involved in Your good works. For us to be involved in proclaiming the good news. So that when we come together again next week, we will have more testimony of how You are working in our lives and the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.